John chapter 16. I understand that the trip to the ark went really well. Yeah, Howard said laughed the whole 12 hours down and the whole 12 hours back with 11 people in the van. That's a miracle in itself right there. So good job. Good job. From time to time, my wife and I are given charge of our young grandkids while the parents either run some errands or spend a little bit of quiet time together. Mostly the kids are happy to be with us, especially since my wife has this gift for preparing for the kids' arrival. She will get out some new toys or some games out of the garage, stuff she had packed away from Josh and Kayla from when they were little, but she always has a different arrangement waiting for them. And so they will rush into the room and they will go to the toy shelves and just see what Meemaw's surprises are all about for this particular time. While they're all caught up in the new arrangement, the parents kind of slip out and go on their way. Usually I'm busy in the kitchen putting some things together for them. Inexplicably, in the midst of this kid nirvana, one or more of them will just go rogue. They'll start taking toys off of their brother, sister, or cousin. They'll just dump a whole bucket full of Legos on the floor purposefully and then just walk away. They'll refuse to eat what they asked me to make for them. And time for a bit of an attitude adjustment. Now, I found two particularly helpful ways of dealing with these behaviors. The second one, I don't like to use it. I only use it as a last resort. That would be my paddle. The Board of Education to be applied to the seat of learning. I haven't even had to actually use it yet on any of the grandkids. Just brandishing it and the look in my eyes was enough that it has changed the behavior or the attitude on the spot. But my favorite means of changing the direction of their soul is to give them a promise. If you do this, then you'll get that. Do what Grandpa says and you'll get some ice cream, or we'll take a trip to the park, or whatever good thing can come about. Promises are powerful motivators. I've seen them turn sour rebels into joyful helpers. The greater the promise, the greater the motivation. Sometimes I propose, it's just lame. They couldn't care less whether they had that or not, and so it doesn't change anything about their attitude or about their heart. But if you come up with a gem if you hit that right spot, something they really love, something they really want, something they really need, then the motivation becomes very strong within. A poor promise may not spark any response, while a great promise may result in enthusiastic cooperation. A promise bridges the gap between the unpleasantness of the required action, you got to pick up your toys, and the reward of good behavior. The promise bridges the gap. I don't want to do this, but I do want that. I'm not going to get that yet, but if I persist in this, it's coming. So it's turned from the laborious, dutiful, I hate this, to, well, at least I can occupy my mind with a better thing until it's almost like it's the Novocaine. That the drill doesn't feel so bad because there's Novocaine. The hope is my Novocaine. It's bringing me to a good place. Jesus made a great promise to his disciples and by extension to us. And we're going to do a series on the Holy Spirit over the coming weeks, maybe a couple of months. And the great surprise to me is how blind the church at large is to the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We have a great opportunity. We have a wonderful, powerful force working on our behalf. And for most of the church world, they don't even consider it. In fact, some have even barred their gates against it. And it's a powerful promise. We need to get a hold of it. John chapter 16, Jesus said, "Because I've said these things, you are filled with grief. But very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Father, I pray that you'd help us to catch the word today. I don't know how it is, but this world tends to drown out your voice in our hearts. Even though we're born again, even though your sheep know your voice, our ears, our spiritual ears, get all clogged with wax and terrible stuff from the noise of this world. I pray that you'd help us to calm down this morning, to hear what the Spirit would say to the church today, that we would receive it and that it would change the way we do everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus reports that what he had been talking to his disciples about filled them with grief. As he's talking, he could see their countenance dropping. They were there to celebrate the Passover meal, which was normally a joyful time. But as Jesus talks more and more about, I'm going to be taken from you for a while, and so, and one of you is going to betray me, they're going from shock to discouragement, and it's a very difficult evening for them. In fact, probably the most difficult evening of their life. And Jesus is promising them it's actually going to get worse before it gets better. In verse 1 of this chapter, Jesus said, "All this I have told you so that you will not go astray." Jesus realized that the stuff he was imparting to them was so heavy that it could actually make the disciples who had walked with him for 3.5 years leave, quit, go rogue, turn from the gospel and just go back with the world. He said, "All this I have told you so that you won't go. I know that what's going to happen is going to be so hard that you're going to be tempted to walk. But I'm sharing this with you for the purpose that you won't do that. I'm preparing you for it all." This very night that he's talking to them is the Last Supper. Later that evening, they will see him get arrested. By this time tomorrow, Jesus will be dead. What a vital evening. What an important turn in their lives. No wonder they're filled with grief. Their world is about to come crashing in. So far, Jesus has been filling them with information they're going to need to know later on. Sort of like if you understood, okay, I got 24 hours to live. What does my spouse need to, okay, where the insurance is in the strong box, the papers for the bank statements, you need to know where they are, other information that you're trying to get out. You're going to need to know this. Perhaps you would share with your spouse or your other loved one some of the things you've always taken care of around the house or business-wise. They're going to now have to take up that. They did other things, you did these things, and now you want to give them the information so that they'll be all right as they move into the future. In our text, Jesus gives them a promise that they can hold on to. Look, in the midst of everything else that's going on, remember this, I'm sending a counselor to you. Remember this too. It's good that I'm going away. He said, "Very truly, I tell you, I promise you that this is a good thing. It's going to hurt. It's going to be difficult, but it's going to turn out great." He's trying to pry their minds off the short-term pain to look at the long-term joyful result. Jesus said, "It's better for us to have the Holy Spirit here than to have him still on earth." That's a pretty wild statement, wouldn't you say? And I'm sure that as he's looking at his disciples around the table, they're thinking, "No, we don't want your Holy Spirit, we want you. You're the one that we love, you're the one that's been with us, and this is what we signed up to follow you. Why are you changing everything on us? This is not what we want." But Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you," I'm telling you the truth, "it's a good thing that I'm going away. It's better for you that I go and I send the counselor, the Holy Spirit, to you than if I stay here with you. While Jesus was here in a human body, he was only able to be at one place at one time. Only so many people could get his attention. I think there's like 7 billion people on the planet right now. How long would you have to wait until it was your turn? How long of a meeting would you have to have with him that to discuss your problems, your issues, the things that are going on? And imagine if you only had a brief moment. How many of you live a life like mine and stuff happens absolutely every day? You keep thinking, well, if we could just get past this, it would be so much easier. But you get past that, and then there's something else that's waiting for you, or several other things that's waiting. I need Jesus 24/7. How about you? Not just an interaction with him. And Jesus said, this is what it's all about. Rather than a chance intersection, rather than a few moments of the Lord's time, you need him 24/7. The Holy Spirit would reveal Jesus to us all the time. The Holy Spirit would become our constant companion, closer than if we had Jesus as a neighbor or he attended the church that we went to. We're not trading Jesus in for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is bringing us Jesus 24/7 so that in the middle of the night, I can cry out to God and he's right there. In the middle of our circumstance, Wednesday afternoon at work, you can look up to heaven and say, oh, God, I need you. Lord, I need to know what to do right now. And he's right there with you. Throughout the Gospels, we read about people trying to get to Jesus. Remember the woman who pressed through the crowd? If I could just touch the hem of his garment. That's how popular he was. That's how caught up he was in one person. If I could just touch his garment, that would be great. Let alone talk to him. I just want to touch his garment. Remember the four friends who had a buddy who was paralyzed. They couldn't get through the crowd. They dug a hole through a roof and they lowered him down just so he could have his moment with Jesus. A moment with God is a life changer indeed. It was a very precious thing. But Jesus said, no. I'm going away so that you can have your moment with Jesus anytime, anywhere. There are a lot of times I come to the Lord in prayer and I'm a little bit embarrassed. I'm a little bit guilty. I'm feeling, I don't belong here, Jesus. I should have prayed more yesterday. I should have been more faithful today. You ever been there? And you're coming to God and you're, oh man, this isn't good. But then I hear something else. No, this is good. Because God is always everywhere. He was faithful to me even if I wasn't faithful to him. And he wants me. He forgives me. We start over all the time, the Lord and I. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. And that's what Jesus said, I'm going, I'm sending, he'll be here. You don't have to worry that, oh no, I blew it. I had a chance to meet with God and he's gone now. Or he's fed up with me and he's, closed that door. No. Jesus said, it's a good thing that I'm going away. Because I'll send the counselor and he'll be with you 24/7. The lights are always on. Anytime you can turn to God, you can cry your heart out, and he hears you. The only thing that keeps us from that intimacy is our own noise in our own brain. Oh, well, God does. I'm sure the enemy feeds that. But don't listen to that noise. Listen to the word of God. He will never leave me. He will never forsake me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He spreads his arms out while that prodigal son, the guy that blew his dad's money, he partied, he did every despicable thing. When he turned back home, he didn't see his old man waiting with a big old baseball bat. I'm going to teach you waste my money. I'm going to teach you running after wild. Oh, what an idiot. You old boy, you're going to get it now. That's what he thought he was going to find. But what did he find? Arms open wide. father crying, oh, so glad to see you. Kill the fatted calf. Bring him a robe. Get some shoes on this boy's feet. My son was dead, but now he's alive. Hallelujah. And the Holy Spirit comes and shares that spirit with us and wraps the warmth of Jesus around us every time we make our way back home. We don't have to wait for a moment, a scheduled meeting. I hope I can find Jesus over in Galilee today. Maybe in Capernaum. Maybe on the other side. Have you heard? Have you seen Jesus? Have you heard where he's gone? Wow. He's right here with me right now because of the power of the Holy Spirit. In chapter 16, verse 8 of John, when he comes, Jesus said, when the Holy Spirit comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. Once the Holy Spirit arrived, he would convict the power of this world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In other words, they were just partying and they didn't care. They had no idea. They didn't feel guilty. They felt well justified in everything they were doing. But as soon as the Holy Spirit showed up, all of a sudden, it wasn't fun anymore. All of a sudden, there was this hangover from the things they did. It wasn't pleasing. It wasn't fulfilling any longer. They felt a new hunger, a new yearning inside that couldn't be satisfied by partying or revenge or any such thing. Money couldn't satisfy it. There was a hunger inside because the Holy Spirit was pulling people to God. How many of you can remember a time in your life when you used to think all this was a bunch of hooey? You had some Christian friends and you thought they were loopy. They would talk to you about Jesus and you thought, man, you need medication. There's something wrong with you. Your mother dropped you when you were young, didn't she? And as much as they would share their stories and their testimonies, you always had an adverse reaction to it and just kind of shook your head when you made fun of them. You just thought, woo-hoo. But now here you are. What was the difference between then and now? The Holy Spirit convicted you. Things you used to laugh at, you can't laugh at any longer. They're dead serious. Things you used to make fun of now are precious to you. What happened? The Holy Spirit is what happened. Got a hold of your heart. And everything got changed from the inside out. Nothing short of an action of God could have pulled you away from your sin and into a church. Amen? But there was an action of God, wasn't there? God did have his way in your life. That action was the power of the Holy Spirit attacking your heart with conviction about sin, righteousness, and judgment. Things you used to be proud of, you're now ashamed of. Things you used to laugh at are precious to you. The Holy Spirit made a difference in your life. You cried over the same thoughts you once laughed at. If you've ever felt the conviction of the Holy Spirit, you know it's a game changer. It changes everything. Now that wasn't going to happen unless Jesus returned to the Father. It wasn't going to happen if Jesus would have just set up his kingdom and gone with a little bit of ease and comfort. But once the Holy Spirit came, Peter could stand up on the day of Pentecost. Now Peter had been involved in ministry before. He had taken a partner, Peter and John, or Peter and James, Peter and Andrew. They would go out in the villages and they would minister to people. And they had some measure of ministry success. Some people repented and followed the Lord. A lot of people didn't. Sometimes they had to shake the dust off their robes and go on, shake the dust off their sandals and go on. But boy, when the Holy Spirit came, Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. And he preaches like a lion. 3,000 people got saved and baptized on that day. Does the Holy Spirit know how to do his work or what? With the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter could go into Cornelius's house. Cornelius was a Gentile, and Peter didn't even think he was supposed to go there. But he starts to preach, and the Holy Spirit falls on the crowd, and everybody begins to weep and to cry out to God and worship the Lord and speak in other tongues. It's like the whole room got saved at once. Woo-hoo! Can the Holy Spirit work or what? And Jesus said, it's a good thing. I wonder if that didn't echo in Peter's mind that day. I remember Jesus said it would be better if this is better. This is good. This is powerful. This is amazing. Now catch this. On any given day, the worst sinner can be converted because the Holy Spirit is here with us. On any given day. You think of the greatest knucklehead you know. The hardest person against the gospel you know. The biggest jerk you've ever met can get saved today because of the power of the Holy Spirit. How many former jerks do we have? No, that's okay. Somebody would have thought that of you, but look where you are today. Next Sunday morning, the Morning Star folk are going to be sharing a few pictures and testimonies of what God has been doing in Morning Star. And I hope that part of what they share is about some of the people who, when they first came to Morning Star, when they first came to our little tent, were abusive. They didn't want us there, didn't like us there, but have come around and been born again by the power of God. What happened? Did they find Stan oh so charming? Well, no, you've met Stan, right? So, no, what could it be? Oh, the Holy Spirit, hallelujah. On any given day, the worst sinner, no longer do we get discouraged when a person comes and is abusive. We can just smile. We just understand, oh man, I feel sorry for you because God's on your case. The hounds of heaven are going to follow you home. You might think you left something here. Well, friend, you're taking something home with you. You don't even know about it. And the Holy Spirit is powerful. Now, I understand, too, there's some people in our family we've been working on 20, 30 years. It may take the rest of their life, but God's going to get them. Because of the Holy Spirit, the worst sinner can be converted on any given day. The Holy Spirit is good at what he does. We can witness to others anticipating they're going to get saved. When you witness to somebody, you know, don't go home, oh, that was dumb, I should have said this, I meant to say that, I should have. No, you're not alone. When you're working on their ears, the Holy Spirit is working on their heart. They quite literally could hear something you never even said because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I find this all the time in preaching. I stand outside and somebody will come by and say, boy, when you said this, it was so powerful. And I'm thinking, I never said that. But that's what they heard, because the Holy Spirit is good at what he does. And when you witness, you understand it's not you. While you're working on the ears, the Holy Spirit is working on the heart, and he's doing something very powerful. You have a strong partner in this whole thing. Now, they may not drop as soon as we pull the trigger. Hey, Jesus loves you. But they've become infected. And that's going to take hold. And that's going to continue to work as they go along. They'll be, our hunters will talk about a blood trail. Oh, I must have hit him because let's trail him. And you'll be able to see the Lord working in their heart and working in their life from that moment on. You know, when you pray, I hope you pray powerful prayers. Please don't pray wimpy little prayers. Oh, God, please, if you're able to and in a good mood and it's all right and you're not really busy, would you mind, please, possibly... Man, pray powerful prayers because we have the Holy Spirit anointing on us. One of the prayers I pray a lot is, Father, pray through me today. Teach me to pray. That teach me to pray isn't a prayer I prayed before. It's a prayer I pray continually. Keep teaching me to pray. Show me how to pray today. Show me where to go in my prayers. A lot of times when I'm praying, a lot of my prayer time is just kind of boring, kind of lame, but then all of a sudden the Holy Spirit hits, and man, it gets powerful, and these word pictures come, and the roar starts to go, and it's just awesome because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Trust God for great things. Don't look at the problems and, oh, they're too great and they're too powerful. I hope we endure. Look at God. See how strong He is and implore His power to come. My God can do anything. He is not diminished in any way. There is no nation that He cannot transform. We serve a great and an awesome God. He is mighty. And He gave us this Holy Spirit as our prayer partner. And so we can pray great prayers. Don't get discouraged by people who are ignorant to you. Pray for them. Sick the Holy Spirit on them. Implore God to get a hold of their lives. And on any given day, just watch what God will do. Verse 12, there in chapter 16 of John, Jesus said, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. He won't speak of His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify Me, because it is from Me that He will receive what He will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is Mine. That's why I said the Spirit will receive from Me what He will make known to you. The Holy Spirit is our life coach. He's our mentor, our teacher, our guide, our instructor. He will help us step by step. Jesus said, I could keep you here all night and try to fill your head with a bunch of facts, but that would never be enough. More than you can bear. You ever been maxed out? You've been in a meeting and it's gone on for a little bit longer than your mind can absorb, and you know, no more is going in. One preacher said, the mind can absorb only what the seat can endure. And when the seat's telling you, I can't, you know, you can keep talking, but it's just bouncing off. And I've been in meetings like that. I've been in seminars. Sometimes college was like that. You know, you can only absorb so much at any given time, and then the rest is just kind of wasted. It's overflowing. Jesus said, I have so much more to, but you can't bear it right now. Guys, I so much, I, but better than that, the Holy Spirit's going to go with you and be your constant counselor, your voice of information when you need it. Jesus had so much He wanted to impart to His disciples, but He knew it was more than they could absorb at the moment. What Jesus had to say to them would actually become a running conversation for the rest of their lives. Guys, what I'm telling you now, we're going to continue this. Never going to end. You're never going to come to the end of my sharing with you. There was no way that Jesus was going to be able to pack into Peter's brain everything he was going to need to know for the rest of his life. Peter, you're going to be the head of the church, and the church is going to spread to every nation around the world, and here's how we're going to do it. Wow. Peter would have said, I'm a fisherman, Lord. I'm a fisherman. I'm not Einstein. I can't handle, I take as many notes as you possibly could, but could never find proper context for it all. But the Lord could say, I'm sending you a friend. I'm sending you a counselor to be with you forever. And there's something convoluted about even preaching. I give you information, but how long will we remember what we talked about this morning? There's got to be something more to it. And Jesus, trying to prepare His disciples in a few hours for the rest of their lives, it'd be worse than trying to make a lawyer or a doctor out of someone by cramming information into them for a couple of hours. You have a great surgeon, and he's about to die, and he wants his skills to carry on. So he says, Troy, you got a few minutes, buddy? I want to tell you how to do brain surgery. Anyone here want to go to a doctor that went to school for 4 hours? Dale shared with me on his way in, he's going for heart surgery at the end of the month. Triple bypass, our friend Dale Kennedy. Keep him in prayer. Dale, would you feel okay if the guy came in and said, oh, yeah, hey, man, I went to school for hours. I almost spent a whole day there. And but it's all good. I saw a video. I got the YouTube running here, and we're going to be just fine. Nah, yeah, no way. Now catch this. So many believers try to run on their knowledge. They try to live their life on what they have learned and what they can remember. That's important, but it's not enough. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to help us moment by moment. Otherwise, you'll find that what you know will actually work against the kingdom at times. You'll use your scripture out of context. You'll think your emotions are the proper guide for this, and no. But when you're moving in the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden you'll remember things you couldn't have remembered otherwise. You'll be saying things that you never thought of because of the power of the Holy Spirit. Knowledge without the anointing is actually dangerous. But knowledge anointed by the Holy Spirit is powerful. Paul said, study to show yourself approved and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. That'll light it up. That'll be powerful. That'll bring light into lost souls. We need the power of the Holy Spirit. He is our ever-present help in the time of need. You can ask any question at any time. I do this continually. I ask about plumbing. I ask about woodwork. I ask about bugs. I ask about spiritual things. I'm always talking to God because I found out God knows everything. And he will lead me. He'll give me an idea. He'll show me a direction, if not answer me directly. He is our ever-present help in time of need. And every morning I need to adjust my heart. I need to find the anointing. I need to get into God and then have him walk with me and talk with me all through the day. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help. And sometimes there are specific things that I'm doing. Well, I didn't pray specifically about that, but I have the confidence that God is walking with me and he's helping me figure this out, and it's going to land right because God is with me 24/7. Just like you can count on the Holy Spirit attacking a person's heart while you're talking to them the Word of God, you can count on the Holy Spirit speaking to you about the things of God. Far too many Christians are satisfied to know somebody who knows God. They know somebody who's intimate with God. They themselves are a Christian, but they don't talk to God. Or they have no confidence in what they're hearing that it is from God. But there are people they have confidence in, and so they'll go to those people and they'll say, will you pray for me? Now, it's good for all of us to have other people praying for us and all that. I'm not discouraging that at all. But some people only depend on that. They have no confidence in hearing from God for themselves. And we need to be open to that. You know, my mother-in-law passed away this last week, and we spent several weeks there kind of walking her home. And there were bouts where she was suffering quite a bit. And my wife said, you know, I asked the Lord. She said, it didn't sound like me asking God this, and I wasn't comfortable with it, but I was. She said, I was asking God, why? Why is my mother suffering? And she said, God answered me. He said, she's suffering for you, for your brothers and your sisters, so that the family will come together. He has a great work he wants to do in this family. And she was just like, wow. You know, and the neat thing is, it was the Holy Spirit that put the question in her heart. She noticed that's not a question she would normally ask. She trusts the Lord. But God had her ask the question so he could answer the question, so that she could share with her brothers and sisters what God had said. And so on one evening when Mom was particularly troubled and the kids were all gathered around, Barb said, this is what happened, and this is what God said, and now this is what God wants from you. And then she played a song there. Some of you know my wife. She's a rather shy, you know, a little bit more of an introverted kind of a person. She was a great Pentecostal preacher on that evening. The Holy Spirit had spoken into her a word that she could share with you. Wasn't just something, she didn't sit in the corner. Now, what could I share with those lunkhead brothers and sisters of mine? Those, oh man, they're so hard-headed and so difficult at times. What could I really say? No, it had to come from God. And he gave her a good word in his own time. And you, my friend. Now, often God won't speak when we're expecting him to. And often God speaks when we're not expecting. But he will speak to you. And if you seek him, you will find him. And he will speak into your life in powerful ways. We need to develop our relationship with God. And that's really what the series is all about, is raising your comfort level in talking to God. Raising your confidence in hearing from God. How do I know it's God? Sometimes we get it wrong. Sometimes it's my own thinking. Sometimes it's the enemy disguising his voice. How do I know it's God? This series is all about God wants to talk to you. Not just to the Billy Grahams of this world, not just to whoever, not just to the pastor. God wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants to empower you. He wants to speak to you. And hopefully, as you hear these promises, as you hear the word, it'll build faith and confidence for you to speak to God and to listen to what he would say into your life. Notice that Jesus says in verse 14, he will glorify me because it's from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. He, not it. The Holy Spirit isn't some force. It's not the internet. He is a person, and he loves you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit love you. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit minister to you. They are on your side. They are for you. And he will speak directly to you in prayer. You can ask for his help, his wisdom, his power. He will give it. Does anybody lack wisdom? Let him ask of God, and he will give it liberally. Boom, 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 pour it out. He will lavish on you. Just, I challenge you this week. Pray about things you never prayed about before. When you're at work and you get stumped on something, ask God for help. God knows accounting. God knows mechanics. God knows medicine. God knows law. God knows it all. And he can help you with it. God knows how to fold those fitted sheets. Yeah. God knows how to do it. I haven't had a real revelation on that myself just yet. But one wonderful thing that has happened, my wife quit checking how I fold the unfitted sheets. And so, you know, it's all good. And I'm more into the Rumpelstiltskin kind of rumple it up and it'll be fine. He's your friend. It's his job. Let him do his job. Don't keep the windows closed. Open them up now. I pray that you just open the windows right now and say, God, if he's right, if what he's saying is true, I want to hear from you this week. I want it. You know, speak whatever you want to, whenever you want to, but I want to hear your voice this week. Show me something. Lead me deeper than I've been before. A couple months ago, I found myself praying, Holy Spirit, you have breathed on us, and now we're breathing on you. He breathed faith into us, and now we're breathing out prayers of faith to him. And I believe that God loves audacious prayers. I believe God loves powerful prayers. I believe God loves big prayers. And he inspired me. I believe we can inspire God. We talked about that a couple weeks back. One man, one person can change the mind of God. A Noah, but then Noah. God was sorry he made a, but then Noah. What am I going to do with Noah? Noah, build an ark. Woohoo! And the whole thing started over again. You can inspire God. Let the Holy Spirit inspire you, and then you start inspiring the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me how to pray. Oh, wow, this is good. Oh, Holy Spirit, go get them. Hallelujah. If you wallow in self-pity and, oh, did you hear what they said to me? They're so mean. Oh, Holy Spirit, get them. Holy Spirit, get them. Save them to the uttermost and bring about a wonderful, wonderful revival. Anticipate a better relationship with God as we walk through this study on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Just all of us, me included, I anticipate a better relationship with God than I've ever had before in my life. Isn't that exciting? Not, you know, I keep hearing Christians say, oh, I wish I could get saved all over again because it felt so great. You know, it was so wonderful. The best is yet ahead. The best is yet ahead. The promise turns fears into hope, worry into expectation, and doubt into faith. Let it roar through you. Would you stand with me?